Well, amen. Thank you, girls. That was beautiful. I want you to open your Bibles, please, to the Old Testament book of the Song of Solomon. The Song of Solomon. It's right before Isaiah. And Isaiah's just a little bit past the middle of your Old Testament. There's 66 chapters in Isaiah, so you shouldn't have any trouble finding it. Song of Solomon is the next book back. And it's chapter 2. It's right after chapter 1. Okay, just trying to be helpful. Song of Solomon, chapter 2. I'm going to read about 9 verses here. Very familiar. You say, well, I've heard some of this before. That's because many of our hymns include some of the phrases that are found in this second chapter. Many of the hymns that talk about the Lord and about Him being so loving and compassionate and caring. And this entire book is an allegory, but it shows us the love that the Savior has and the compassion and care that the Savior has for each one of us. And I want to begin reading in verse 1, and you follow along in your Bible as I read. It says, I am the rose of Sharon and the lily of the valley. Or the valleys. As the lily among thorns, so is my love among the daughters. As the apple tree among the trees of the wood, so is my beloved among the sons. I sat down under his shadow with great delight, and his fruit was sweet to my taste. He brought me to the banqueting house, and his banner over me was love. Stay me with flagons. Comfort me with apples, for I am sick of love. Now, it doesn't mean sick of love. You and I would understand it, sick in love. So much in love was she with her beloved that she felt ill. Verse 6, his left hand is under my head, and his right hand doth embrace me. I charge you, O ye daughters of Jerusalem, by the rose and by the hinds of the field, that ye stir not up, nor awake my love till he please. The voice of my beloved, behold, he cometh leaping upon the mountain, skipping upon the hills. And verse 9 is the text that I've chosen this morning. Verse 9 says, my beloved is like a roe or a young hart. Behold, he standeth behind our wall. He looketh forth at the window, showing himself through the lattice. Now, I want you to notice that in verse 9, we have a phrase here, behold, he standeth behind our wall. And I want to speak to you this morning from that little phrase and entitle the message, Standing Behind Us. Standing Behind Us. Let's pray together. Our Father, we thank you so much for this allegory, this beautiful picture that we have in the Old Testament of the Savior and his love for his church. Lord, we thank you that there's never a time when we as a believer have to face life and life situations by ourselves. The Lord, our beloved, standeth behind us. And Lord, we're thankful that we have a Savior who cares about every little thing. We have a Savior who can make the difference in our lives. And so, Father, help us this morning to recognize his presence. And I pray that you will bless and help me as I speak. May the things that I point out here this morning be an encouragement, lift folks up, and Father, help them to make it through another day and to make it through another week, another month, another year. And Lord, may our faith in you increase as a result of what we hear this morning. So Lord, bless and fill me with your Spirit and help me as I speak. But Lord, also give ears to hear to every person and apply the message where it is needed the most. Lord, you know every person here. You know every heart. And so, Lord, use the message to be a blessing to all. And we'll thank you and praise you for what you accomplish. In Jesus' name, amen. You may remember a few months ago, those of you that were here in that service, I preached a message out of Isaiah chapter 30 and verse 21, where Isaiah said, I heard a voice behind me. And saying, this is the way, walk ye in it. He heard a voice behind him. And then we're all familiar with Revelation chapter 1, where John was on the Isle of Patmos, and the Bible says it was the Lord's day. And he was feeling a little down, a little discouraged, being abandoned there and left there alone to die on that island. And the Bible says that it was the Lord's day, and he heard a great voice behind him. And the Bible says he turned around, and when he saw the one that was speaking, of course, it was the Lord. And the Lord said to him, "I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end." And then I was reading this a week or so ago, and I noticed a little phrase in verse 9 where the Shulamite is speaking, and she says, "My beloved is like a roe or a young hart. Behold, he standeth behind our wall." And there that word was, behind our wall. And the thought hit me as I read this and then put the other verses with it. The thought stood out to me that the Lord, our beloved, stands behind his people. You see, the wall here is not unlike our lives. A wall is built just as life is built, one stone placed upon another with constant toil and effort. You cannot just wish for a wall. You have to build it. And folks, it's the exact same way with our lives. We have to build our lives. You cannot just hope or wish or dream yourself into a person of strong character. You have to forge. You have to hammer. You have to fashion your life, fashion yourself into a person of character. But here is the thought that I want to leave with you this morning. The believer has a great assurance that behind our lives, behind our wall, our beloved is standing. He stands at the back of our lives where he can see all the pitfalls that we are approaching. He stands behind us as if to say he's watching and he's directing and he's guiding and leading and telling us the way to go as we journey down life's pathway. It ought to be an encouragement to each and every one of us that we don't have to go through life alone as a Christian. That every step that we take, every step is a step that is seen and guarded by our beloved who is walking behind us. It ought to energize us as we stop and think about the fact that the beloved was standing behind Isaiah that day. It was a dark day in Judah. It was a day when the enemy was approaching. It was a day when the people had walked away from God. And as far as the old prophet was concerned, it was a dark day. And he did not know the way to walk. He did not know the direction to go. But then all of a sudden he heard a voice behind him, and the voice behind him was there to lead him. And of course it was the beloved who was speaking and said to him, "This is the way, walk ye in it." Folks, it ought to be an encouragement to each and every one of us as we think of the poor old Apostle John. His body scarred, his worn out body left to die as an outcast on the Isle of Patmos. And in his hour of loneliness, in his hour of despair, the devastated old disciple whom Jesus loved heard the voice of his beloved behind him, and he turned to see the glorified Savior like the one he had seen on the Mount of Transfiguration many years before. So what I'm trying to get you to see this morning is I want you to apply this passage of Scripture. You have a wall. It's called your life. Just as a wall was had to be built, you've had to build your life. And now here you are in life, but your beloved stands behind you. I want you to realize that just as the beloved stood behind Isaiah, just as the beloved stood behind John, just as the beloved stood behind the Shulamite, you've got the beloved who stands behind you and will never leave you nor forsake you. He'll never turn his back on you and leave you alone. He's always there to guide and help you as you journey through life. Do you know the hard part for us is to recognize the fact that our beloved stands behind us. But folks, I guarantee you, you will never have a greater day in your life than the day when you find yourself alone and the day when you find yourself longing or hurting or grieving or suffering or in despair, and then all of a sudden the voice of your beloved comes leaping upon the mountains and you turn to find your beloved standing behind you and you hear him whisper sweet peace to your soul. Folks, what a comfort to know that my beloved standeth behind our wall. Now, the question that I want to ask this morning and then hopefully answered for you is, why do we as Christians forget that the Lord is standing behind us? Why is it so easy for us to get so caught up in things and get so involved in things that we fail to realize our beloved is standing behind us ready to help? Why is it that we're so easily dissuaded from trusting in our beloved? I mean, it doesn't take anything to knock us off course. You notice that? I mean, an election can go wrong and go against us, and we lose all hope and want to throw in the towel and start talking about moving to Canada. Folks, it won't do any good to move to Canada. They're more liberal than we are. I mean, let's realize that the king is in the hand of the Lord. The king's heart is in the hand of the Lord. Let's realize that God is still on the throne. Doesn't matter who is sitting on in the Senate or who is sitting in the House. The Lord is the one calling the shots. We need to realize that. And our beloved stands behind us. You know, it's amazing. The weather can get bad and our whole week is fouled up. Isn't that amazing about us? I mean, we get our feelings hurt. And by the way, you are going to get your feelings hurt. That's called life. We get our feelings hurt or we get offended by something and our whole personality and life and the very fabric of our being is changed over what somebody said or what somebody did. Folks, why do we so easily forget that behind our wall, our beloved is standing? Let me give you just three things this morning that might help you to be a little more conscious of the fact that our Savior standeth behind the wall. Why is it so easy for us to forget? Well, let me give you three things. First of all, because of the volume of little things that bombard us every day. You know, our lives are really, when you think about it, our lives are not made up of great big events all the time, but they're made up of a collection of little things all the time. Let me see if I can illustrate what I mean. I've got a friend of mine, a preacher friend of mine. I've known him for 27, 28 years now. And no matter when you talk to this guy, no matter what time of day, no matter what time of year, I mean, it just doesn't make any difference. When you talk to him, he is just plumb wore out. You say, how you doing? Oh, brother, I'm so tired. Oh, just been working so hard. And he said, I've got 1,000 things going, and I tell you, I'm just exhausted. Now, here's the deal, folks. It doesn't matter what time of the year, doesn't matter when it is, doesn't matter what time of the day. He's always exhausted. He's always worn out. He's always got 1,000 projects going all at the same time. And here's the thing. He pastors a church of 100 people. Oh, I'm just wore out, he'll say. And I said, really? I said, well, wait. Oh, man, I got 1,000 things going. I'm just so tired, I don't know if I can make it another day. And he pastors a church of 100 people. Now, it's just, I mean, he's a wonderful fellow. I love him to death. He's a good friend. But he's got 1,000 things, little things. No major projects. He's not in a multi-million-dollar building project. He's not in a multi-million-dollar fundraising project. He's just got 1,000 little things going. And that's the reason he can stay happy in a church running 100 is because he just works like he's got a church of 10,000 doing all these little things. But there's nothing monumental going on in his life. He has no huge projects going on. It's just all the little things all the time. And folks, that's the way most of us live our lives. We don't have huge things going on most of the time in our life. We all have the same amount of days, and most of our days, let's be honest, are filled with little things. The truth is, most of us have very few days where great, magnificent things are happening in our lives. Our days are usually just occupied with everyday, common happenings. But listen, here's where we get ourselves in trouble. We start looking at all the little things that mount up in our lives, and we get so involved in trying to fix them and trying to make them work and trying to get them to fit into our lives that we lose sight that our beloved is standing behind us. We lose sight of the fact that we have a responsibility as a Christian to recognize the beloved, to depend upon him, to trust him, to serve him. But we get so involved with things out here in front of us, we fail to recognize his presence behind us. Now, let me give you a little key to this, and I'll illustrate this as well. A couple of years ago, I preached down on the Eastern Shore. And the pastor said, I'll pick you up in the morning at 8 o'clock after the Monday night service. He said, I'll pick you up in the morning at 8 o'clock and we'll go to breakfast and then we'll go to the pastor's fellowship meeting and where I was preaching. And he said, and then we'll go to lunch and then I want to show you a few things. I said, fine. So at 8 o'clock, I stepped outside of my room and my room was at the very end of the motel. And there was a little creek that came by the motel. And when I looked down at that little creek, I noticed that the creek barely had a trickle of water in it. I mean, a minnow would have had a hard time catching its breath in the amount of water that was in that creek. I went and got in the car. He came shortly thereafter. I got in the car. We left. I preached that morning. We then had lunch, and we ate lunch. It took a couple of several hours to then go and do some sightseeing. He thought that I needed to see all of the sights on the Eastern Shore, and then brought me back to the room by 4 o'clock in the afternoon. When I got out of the car and went over to my room, I looked over to the little creek. That little creek now was filled to the brim. I mean, it was filled. And it dawned upon me that behind that little creek was the great and mighty Atlantic Ocean. Behind that little creek was the power and might of the Atlantic Ocean. I mean, here was this little tiny creek, but when the tide was out, there was barely a trickle in it. But when the tide came in, that little creek was full of water. And folks, in other words, behind the creek was the power and might of the ocean. And is that not the way the Christian life should be viewed? My friends, listen, some of us face things and it doesn't take hardly anything to knock us off course. It doesn't take anything to get us down. It doesn't take anything to get us discouraged. It doesn't take anything to get us depressed. But what we need to realize is that behind all of these little things that happen in our lives, which are so prone to get us off center, is the might and power of our beloved. And if we would just stop once in a while, turn around and look into his bright and shining face and realize his might and his power and his strength and his encouragement, it just might help us to keep on keeping on a little bit. Does that make sense to you? Folks, I mean, listen, behind a thing. I mean, I know that there are some days you wake up and it seems like the whole world is falling apart. And it seems like it's falling apart right around you. And you get down and you get discouraged. My friend, stop right there and turn around. Your beloved is standing behind the wall. Just look at him and trust him. This is so true of the Christian life. Behind every believer is the Almighty God. Listen, an apple falling off a tree in the fall of the year is something that happens all the time. I mean, it happens with regularity, and it's such a small thing, no one thinks twice about it. It's life. It's the natural cycle of things. But my friends, to Sir Isaac Newton, who was sitting under an apple tree one day when one fell out and knocked him in the head, it was no small thing. For behind the falling of the apple came the magnificent law of gravity that was revealed. I mean, if the God of the universe sees the sparrow that falls, if the God of the universe clothes the lilies of the field, and if the God of the universe formed the world to be inhabited, Isaiah 45:18, then you can be assured that same God stands behind us and is the might and force of life. And our problem is we go through life without stopping to consider that behind the wall is the Beloved, and we get so wrapped up in little things that happen and so wrapped up in little problems that happen that we lose our focus, and instead of looking to the Beloved, we're looking at the circumstances, and it's no wonder the devil gets the victory. Behind the wall. Folks, it becomes a beautiful day when we become aware of our Beloved. I know life can weigh you down. Good night. It weighs me down. I know that the little things can mount up and pile up and cause you to want to go find a hole and then crawl in that hole and then pull the hole in behind you. I know that that can happen. But you're saved. And therefore behind you is the Beloved. The problem is we don't turn around when we hear the voice of our Beloved, when we see, when we hear Him coming, and we turn and see Him leaping across the mountains and leaping upon the hills to come to our aid. We fail to recognize it. And I'm just here today to challenge you. Now, folks, listen. You got a Bible here that tells you all about the Beloved and what He'll do for you. Let me challenge you once again, not that I don't do it enough, get in the book. Get in the book. Read about your Beloved. Learn about the Beloved. Study about the Beloved. Let me say another thing. Get in church. You say, well, I'm in church. All right, get in church tonight. Oh, it got quiet right there, didn't it? It got real quiet right there. I said, get in the book. Y'all say amen. I said, get in church. Y'all say amen. You're here. Get in church tonight. There you go. Thank you, all five of you. Thank you. Yeah, we're having services tonight. You say, well, I'm not used to coming to church on Sunday night. Well, you ought to get used to it. And by the way, Wednesday night we're having church too. We need to be in God's house. Folks, that's how you stay in touch with the Beloved. That's how you recognize His presence, by hanging around Him. Get in the book. Get in church. And recognize that behind the wall is our Beloved. And He's always there. Amen. There's a second thing I want you to, I think, is a problem for us. First of all, I said the little things, the abundance of little things that bombard us. But then secondly, now listen very carefully now. I don't know why I worded this like I did. Been a busy week. Second thing, I should have spent more time on this point, trying to make it a little clearer. Secondly, when things seem quite the same, it is what is behind the wall that often makes the difference. When things seem quite the same, it is what is behind that often makes the difference. Now, let me illustrate. I think this is true, evident in every sphere of life. But let me illustrate, and I think you'll get what I'm saying. Out back here, as you go out the road by the playground, and it turns back up and puts you on Center Street, over on the other side of the playground, our illustrious Carroll County Planning Commission made us dig a 1 acre hole in the ground. Now, they said you got to have it so deep and so wide, and then they came and they said you got to put this kind of pipe under it, and you've got to put this kind of drain in it, you got to put this kind of sand on it, and you got to put this kind of silt on it, and you got to put this kind of grass in it. And so we went through the whole process and spent, oh my goodness, an outrageous amount of money for a hole in the ground. Are you listening? For a hole in the ground. Now, a couple of Wednesday nights ago, and you can just pick any Wednesday night you want to pick. It rains every Wednesday night. But a couple of Wednesday nights ago, we were over at Bob Evans eating, like we do every Wednesday night before church. They ought to give me free meals at Bob Evans on Wednesday nights. Half the congregation in there is Church of the Open Door. Or half of their group is Church of the Open Door congregation. And so we finish eating. We come out. And I pulled the car in back here and came around the pond. I looked over, and that pond had about 2 feet of water in it. I mean, it was raining cats and dogs, pouring down, raining sideways. And all that pond was doing what it is supposed to do. The whole idea of that pond out there is it's a drainage pond. When there's no water, when there's no rain, it's dry down in there. But when it rains, all the water from the parking lots and everything ends up over there in that pond. Now, I noticed on Friday when I came into work, I noticed that there was nothing but silt and mud. The water was gone. Just overnight, Thursday night into Friday morning, the water was gone. And there was the muddy grass gasping for air. And now, think about that pond. Now, go, if you will, out the back lane, turn right on Center Street, and go down to the stoplight like you're going over to BJ's and Kohl's and Lowe's and Home Depot and the gas station and everything else over there. As you go through the light and start down the hill, if you look off to your left, sitting down in at the bottom of the hill is another pond. That one also belongs to us. That pond, however, is a little bit different than this pond out here. Yes, it collects runoff water. It collects water from the business across the way where the Pennsylvania Dutch Market used to be. It's now pet thing. Pet, what's it called? Pet thing. Pet thing. It's the pet thing store. But all that water runs underneath 140, comes through a tunnel, all the water from Lowe's, all the water from Target, it all runs and comes in there, but it is also fed by several springs. There's almost always water running in that gully, in that creek between Target and Lowe's. It's almost always running in there. And down when you get over the hill, there's these little springs that bubble up and they run into there. And so it doesn't matter what time of the year you go down to that pond below, there's always fresh, clear water in that pond. It is always teeming with life. I've seen deer down there. I've gone down there and looked at it when they got it finished to make sure that it was done according to at least my specifications. I don't know about the counties, but I went down to make sure it was holding water like it was supposed to and so on. And I walked around it. I saw snakes. I saw fish in there. That pond's been there for years. We just went in and improved it and made it bigger. And I saw fish swimming in it. There was evidence, animal tracks where some animals have been down in there walking around. The difference is that behind that pond over there, there are several sources of living water. There are several sources of springs that feed it. This one out here is just runoff. But the one over by the ball field is completely different. It's what lies behind the one over by the ball field that makes the difference. All right, you got that? All right, let me illustrate it again. Two people walk up to you this morning. One at different times. One says, "Hey, I'm glad to see you." Now, they can. The second one comes up, "Hey, I'm glad to see you." Says the exact same thing. But they can say the exact same thing with the same tone in their voice. But one of them is just a friend. The other is a family member. There's a difference between the two. For you see, it's not what takes these words and syllables and differentiates them is not the thing that lies within them, but what lies behind them. The friend may say, "Hey, it's good to see you," and he's just being cordial. But the family member may say, "Hey, it's good to see you," and what's behind it is a heart of love, and that blesses you and thrills your soul when you hear them say it. And so, folks, our lives are all very much the same. That's the point I'm trying to get you to see. We all face basically the same experiences as we go through life. The strange thing about experience is that it is basically universal, and the God that makes and fashions us out of our experiences, but as universal as experience is, the great distinction lies in what we have eyes to see when we face the experiences of life. You see, God has allowed things to happen in your life. God has allowed things to happen in my life. Many of the things you've had to go through, I haven't had to face. You haven't had to face many of the things I've had to face. Yet, our handling of life's experiences successfully is determined by our ability to see the beloved who is standing behind the wall. You know, folks, I've been at this 30 years. I mean, I've been preaching and pastoring for a long time. And I know some of the tragedy, and I know some of the heartache, and I know some of the sorrow that we can have to face. And it's amazing to me, there'll be people crawl into my office. Oh, Pastor, can you help me? And I'll take the Word of God and I'll share with them a principle and pray with them and encourage them and give them some advice. I mean, they'll then leave and yes, it's a struggle, but they make it. They make it. Then there's others that you say, well, where's so-and-so? Oh, well, they had a little tragedy in their lives. And boom, they're gone. That's it. That's it. They give up on God, give up on the Lord. I mean, it just takes one little thing. Folks, what makes the difference? I'll tell you what makes the difference. It's the recognition that you have in your heart of your beloved who is standing behind you. Folks, you've got a promise. I'll never leave you nor forsake you. You've got a promise. I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me. And you're going to have your difficulties. You're going to have your complex situation. You're going to have your adversity as you go through life. And many times what makes the difference is to recognize the one who is behind our wall. Amen. Amen. Did you hear what I just said to you, church? All right, so there's no excuses now. Man, let's live for God, folks. That's the point. That's the point. Then there's a third thing. All right, listen to this one too. Third, often, what lies behind determines and controls our peace. What lies behind determines and controls our peace. Now let me illustrate this. Not this last week, but the week before. I think it was a week before. Might have been a week before that. A mind's a terrible thing to waste. I had to go, I was coming to work, and I had to stop at Jiffy Mart and get gas. The one out 97 out there by our house. I pulled in and filled up the tank, used a credit card, filled up the tank. Little receipt popped out. I took the receipt, folded it, put it in my wallet. Got in the car. When I got in the car, I decided, I'm thirsty. So I went inside Jiffy Mart. Just pulled forward about 20 paces and got out, went inside, got a bottle of water, stopped at that little rack that has all those health food bars, you know, sticks and twigs on steroids. And I got me one of those little protein bars, and I walked over, plopped it down on the counter. Little girl put it over under the gun and rung it up. She said, that'll be $2.40. I reached in my pocket, and all I had were two quarters. I didn't have a dime on me other than two quarters. And I remembered that I'd left my money laying on the table. I'd left my dollar bills on the table. And I giggled. I kind of chuckled a little bit. So I reached in my wallet, not a problem. I pulled out my wallet. I took my debit card, and I gave her my debit card for $2.40. Didn't mess up my day. Didn't cause me a problem. I didn't lose any sleep over it. Didn't have to go to therapy for it. Do you know why? Because I had money in the bank. You with me? Wasn't a big deal. There was money behind my foolishness. There was money behind what made the difference was I had money in the bank. Now, let's suppose I walk out the store and there's a guy sitting there and he's woolly, hair out to here, beard out to here. He's got rags on. He's got a bag, and that's all he's got is what he can stuff into a grocery bag. And he's sitting there against the building, and you can look at him and tell he hadn't eaten in a while. But you look down at him, and in his hands, he's got two quarters. And he's holding those two quarters and looking at them. And you stop and you realize, well, there's a difference between that guy and me. That guy, he's got two quarters, and that's all he's got. He doesn't have a bank account. He doesn't have a debit card. They won't give him one. He does not have any money in a bank somewhere where he can go in and get him something to eat and take his debit card and pay for it. The difference is what's in the bank. And folks, I want to serve notice on you that what lies behind determines and controls our peace. When we are out here going through life, and let me tell you something, folks, life can sure play some cruel tricks on you, can it not? I'm going to preach about that tonight. Oh, I can't wait for you to hear tonight. I almost preached tonight this morning just so I'd make sure you heard it. Life can mess you up. But here we are going through life and dealing with one mess after another and one problem after another and one medical issue after another and one disappointment after another. But what keeps you going? How do you keep on keeping on and keep a smile on your face and stay close to God and feel the presence of God? You say, boy, I wish I was like you, preacher. Never have any problems, just always upbeat. Yeah, right. Good night. You say, well, how do you keep going? I learned years ago that there's one behind. My beloved's there. And that's what all of us need to learn. Folks, it's not easy. I know it's not easy. But you see what lies behind, that's what makes the difference. What lies behind distinguishes between anxiety and peace. I mean, let me ask you, dear friend, what lies behind your life? What lies behind your life? Is it fate? Chance? Do you live life like rolling dice and you just live with whatever happens and you just handle it the best way you can, which, if you're honest, isn't working very well? If so, then spiritual peace is not something you're going to know very much about. Life will just be one chaotic dilemma after another. But if the Lord is there, if you recognize that the Beloved is standing behind the wall, whatever you face, His presence makes all the difference in the world. And Christian, I want you to listen. That is one of the most wonderful things about the Bible. It always sees God behind the life. You take any biblical hero you can imagine. You can take Abraham or Moses or David or Solomon or any of them, and through their journeys, through their sorrows, through their sin, through their disappointments, you'll find the Beloved standing behind their wall. But here's what you find in their lives. Oh, they had trouble. They had heartache. They had problems. That's one reason I know the Bible to be the Word of God. There's many, but that's one reason I know the Bible to be the Word of God. Because it tells us the bad about God's servants as well as the good. If this book had been written by man, they'd have left most of that stuff out that happened to them. They'd have left most of it out. They had their problems, but in every one of them, they recognized the presence of the Beloved behind them. And folks, we need to learn to do that in our lives. I want you to look back at the verse. He said, my Beloved is like a roe or a young hart. Like a deer. Like a deer. Behold, He standeth behind our wall. He standeth behind our wall. Christian, would you realize this morning that you're not here alone? Would you realize this morning that you're never alone if you're saved? Never. I mean, tomorrow when the clothesline breaks. Tomorrow when the dryer won't work. Tomorrow when the car won't start. Tomorrow when the boss gives you a hard time. Tomorrow when you're stuck in traffic on the Beltway. Behind your wall, your beloved stands. And folks, if we just turn around and we smile, you'll see Him smile. He'll guide. He'll direct. He'll lead. And you don't have to go through life by yourself. I hope you'll find encouragement in that. Think about old John, folks. As I've told you before, tradition says they boiled him in oil. You know, most of the disciples died a martyr's death. You ought to read about that sometime. It's amazing. Most of them died a martyr's death. They got their heads chopped off. They got crucified on crosses. They got stoned. They got killed with a sword. Most of them died a horrible, horrible death. And they tried to kill the beloved apostle John. Tried to kill him by boiling him in oil. Take a huge cauldron, build a fire under it, fill it with oil. Get that oil boiling and then heave him over into it. And when they threw him into the cauldron, it tipped it over. And he survived. And the Romans were a very generous people. They had a double jeopardy clause in their court system. And they could not execute a man twice for the same crime. So they took him on a boat and they put him out in the middle of the Mediterranean on a place where they used to throw prisoners off and just let them die. Called Patmos. Patmos is a very beautiful land today, but back in Bible times, it was just a rock out in the middle of the desert, or out in the middle of the sea. And they took him out there, just threw him out, and went back. There he is, an old man. Can you imagine his body after being thrown in a cauldron of boiling oil? Can you imagine the infection? Can you imagine the pain, the difficulty in moving around? And there he is, out on that rock by himself. I don't know if anybody else was on the island at the time, but on this day, he was by himself. And all of a sudden, he heard a voice. Where was that voice? Was it in front of him? Oh, no, my friend. It was behind him. And he turned, and there he saw the one that he had lived for. Folks, if you'll just turn around every once in a while, in the midst of your storm, you'll see one standing there who loves you and will guide you and cares about you and will show you the way. Our problem is we get so wrapped up in the little things, we don't take time to realize that our beloved is standing behind our wall. May God help us to trust Him this morning. Bow your heads with me, please. Father, we're so thankful for the Bible. Lord, I pray that You encourage our hearts with what we've heard this morning. Lord, give us, I pray, understanding of these Scriptures. Lord Jesus, I pray that You will help each one of us to apply this as is needed in our own hearts and in our own lives. So, Lord, do Your work now, we pray, in Christ's name. Our heads are bowed and our eyes are closed. No one looking around, please. How many of you here today will say, Preacher, I needed that encouragement this morning. I needed that. My goodness, the devil just seems like it's one thing after another. And I want you to pray for me this morning, Preacher. I need to turn around in the midst of all that's going on in my life. And I just need to look into the face of my beloved and get his direction, get his blessing. Pastor, pray for me. Would you lift your hand? Let me pray for you this morning all over this building. Yes, God bless you. God bless you, many of you. God bless you. Thank you. You may put your hands down. Now, folks, listen, it's one thing to just sit here and listen to me and say, yep, amen, I agree with that. But let's apply it. Let's use it. My goodness, don't let it just go in one ear and out the other. Make a decision on it this morning. I'm going to pray in just a moment. But please, don't just get up and walk out. I mean, take it with you and use it. And may God bless it in our hearts as we recognize His presence. Let me ask one more question. Heads bowed, eyes closed. Let me just ask you this. Maybe you're here today and you say, Pastor, I don't know for sure if I died today that I'd go to heaven. I'm concerned about my soul. I know I need to be saved. I need the Lord. I know that. But Preacher, I'm just not sure that I'm saved. And I'd like for you to pray for me this morning. Would you lift your hand, dear friend? Let me pray and ask the Lord to help you today. I won't embarrass you, I promise. Yes, God bless you. You may put your hand down. I won't embarrass you, but I will pray for you. Anybody else? Pastor, pray for me. I'm not 100% sure I'm saved. If I died right now, I don't know for sure that I'd go to heaven, but I'm concerned about my soul. Anybody else before we pray? Anyone else? All right. Now, Father, you know our needs today, and oh, how I pray that you'll bless and meet the needs of our hearts. Lord, I pray that we will all have ears that will understand and hear, not just on the side of our head, but, Lord, in our hearts, spiritual ears, that we may hear the Word of God and use it to draw closer to you. And, Lord, you know every person that raised their hand this morning, and you know the reason that their hand went up. You know the burden that they carry in their heart. The Lord, you promised to be the beloved behind our wall. And so, Lord, guide and direct. Speak to hearts, dear Lord, and open our understanding to what we have heard. May we apply it and use it this week. And may this week be different than any other week we've ever lived, because we're recognizing our beloved standing behind the wall. Oh, Lord, just speak to hearts. And for these, Lord, that aren't sure they're saved, may today be the day of salvation. Oh, dear Lord, do your work now in our hearts, we pray. Save souls and draw Christians closer. In Jesus' name, amen.